It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the rest of the program today, we're going to listen back to our conversation on universal basic income, known as UBI. It's an idea that would have the government give people money on a regular basis with no strings attached. The concept has been gaining traction, especially since the emergency cash distributions of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Illinois, there are several pilot programs studying the effects of universal basic income on people who receive the money, aimed at learning whether and how such a program might be implemented on a larger scale. With the most recent pilot program appearing in the Champaign-Urbana area through the University of Illinois and the Champaign County Regional Office of Education, providing aid to 10 homeless families who have children in school. The idea of universal basic income has fans and critics. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a backer. Here's what he had to say about UBI during a speech in 1967.
Now, one of the answers, it seems to me, is a guaranteed annual income, a guaranteed minimum income for all people and for all families of our country. It seems to me that the civil rights movement must now begin to organize for the guaranteed annual income, begin to organize people all over our country and mobilize forces so that we can bring to the attention of our nation this need.
Joining us for this conversation was Daniel Biss, a former state senator and gubernatorial candidate and the current mayor of Evanston, Illinois, which has its own pilot program for universal basic income. Also with us was Sarah Conway, senior reporter for City Bureau, who's covered a universal basic income program in Chicago. Because this conversation is on tape, we're not taking calls, but you can always leave us a voicemail letting us know what you thought. The number is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Or send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. Okay, here now is our conversation on universal basic income. Mayor Biss, I want to start with you. How did this program in Evanston come about?
Well, the sort of specific answer to that is we are home to Northwestern University, which is a large private institution that doesn't pay property tax. And so we're always trying to work with Northwestern to find other ways for them to contribute to the achievement of our municipal goals. And about a year and a half ago, they contributed $300,000 to set up a guaranteed income pilot here in the city of Evanston, something that they were interested in supporting, that we were very interested in doing, and that they were interested in researching as well, because this is still a relatively young movement. And so having truly high quality research on the impacts and consequences is important too. So they kicked in some funds. The city's kicked in more money than that, and together we're launching this pilot.
So talk about what are some of the details? What is the application process like, for example?
Well, so when you set up a guaranteed income program, the first thing you got to decide is who is eligible. And our program is relatively specific. There's three categories of residents who are eligible. All of them need to be under a certain income threshold, under 250% of the poverty line. But there's three other categories, and they got to fall into one. Either it's youth, it's older adults, or it's undocumented residents. And so if you meet the income threshold, you're in one of those three categories, then you fill out an online application, which is relatively simple. You just need to be an Evanston resident and explain why you fall into these categories. And then you're put into a lottery for receipt of the support.
Sarah Conway with City Bureau, I want to bring you into the conversation. So what about the program happening in Chicago? How does it compare with the one, some of the details we just heard from Evanston?
Sure. So the city of Chicago's guaranteed income program, it's being funded through $31.5 million of federal relief funds that came from the federal government. It's a large program. It's actually one of the largest in the country. Cook County, I mean, the two of them, they kind of go, I want to say, like head to head a little bit. Cook County serving slightly fewer families. Chicago is going to provide $500 a month for a year to 5,000 families. Similar to what Mayor Biss had said, the program was really targeted towards people who are experiencing poverty, and for Chicago as well, it was targeted specifically towards families who've been impacted by COVID. And in Cook County, their guaranteed income program is similar. It's $500 a month, but for 2 years, with slightly fewer families. So that's sort of the scope of the program in Chicago. There was enormous interest in Chicago's guaranteed income program. Over 176,000 people applied. The city saw 100,000 applications, I believe, in like the first day the applications had opened. And I think it's from our reporting that our reporting fellows did this summer at City Bureau, we saw that there's just tremendous need and interest in cash assistance programs like Chicago's, like Cook County's, and I think Evanston's as well.
How many people did you say are in the Chicago program alone?
Sure. So there was a lot of interest in the program. Over 176,000 people applied to it, but Chicago's program itself is 5,000 families. So it's one of the largest nationwide, because typically kind of when you look at the hundreds of guaranteed income programs or universal basic income programs that exist across the country, many of them have been for like a couple hundred people, maybe 100, 200. Chicago and Cook counties have a lot of prevalence because of there's such a large number of people who are going to participate in the program. And the city and the county plan to work with the University of Chicago, actually, to study the impacts of what cash assistance has in people's lives over the year and two years for the county, that they're going to be distributing funds to families that are experiencing poverty and also hardships from the pandemic.
Wow. I did a little quick math there. That's 2.8%, just under 3% of the, so it's 5,000 out of 176,000. That is a really small share of the people who are able to participate from the interest. Mayor Biss, how big did you say the Evanston program was by comparison?
Well, it's 150 individuals will receive the benefit, and we also had thousands of applications. So, you know, these programs are certainly in great demand.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, the rest of our conversation on universal basic income pilot programs happening across Illinois. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of our program today, we're listening back to our conversation on universal basic income pilot programs happening across Illinois. A new one recently opened up in the Champaign-Urbana area aimed at helping homeless families with children in school. Joining us for this conversation was Daniel Biss, a former state senator and gubernatorial candidate and the current mayor of Evanston, Illinois, which has its own pilot program for UBI. Also with us was Sarah Conway, senior reporter at City Bureau. She's covered a universal basic income program in Chicago. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Or leave a voicemail anytime, 24/7. The number is 217-300-2121. 217-300-2121. All right, here's the conclusion of our conversation on universal basic income. And Sarah, why does it seem like UBI, I mean, it's been a few years now, but it's really been growing in popularity and interest among policy types?
That's a really great question. From our research, we found that, discussions and pushes for guaranteed income in the U.S. is almost a century old. There was a big spike in the interest of guaranteed income in the 1960s, probably connected to the turbulence of the time and also people putting more demands on the federal government. Like you had played the clip from Martin Luther King, the Black Panther Party also advocated for there to be a guaranteed income program in the 1960s, as well as it's interesting, like across the political spectrum, Milton Friedman also had proposed that the federal government have a sort of guaranteed income program as well. So in Chicago, though, there was, in the 2010s, just discussion, I want to say like the late 2010s, there were discussions amongst mayors across the country who were really supportive of having a guaranteed income program in Chicago itself. It can be really traced back to former Alder Amia Poir, who in June 2018 had introduced a resolution in Chicago City Council to create a task force to study how Chicago could implement a universal basic income pilot. And at that time, the proposal was to give, 1,000 families $500 a month as part of a pilot program. Though the resolution didn't pass, there was a group that studied guaranteed income in Chicago. It was something that former mayor Rahm Emanuel had pushed through, and they created this task force. But it wasn't until it wasn't really until after the pandemic, even though the task force had, in 2019 encouraged that the city do a pilot program, it wasn't really until after the pandemic that the political will really came about to having a pilot program in Chicago. I think from a reporting, part of that is that the city received, over $30 million in federal relief funds that had to be used to help people who had been impacted by COVID. But I think also part of it is that, though Mayor Lightfoot, when she was running as mayor, she was very supportive of the city having a guaranteed income program. Once she actually, became mayor of Chicago, people have looked back at the anti-poverty summit that had happened that was in early 2020. And she had somewhat kind of reversed her position. She had raised concerns about whether universal basic income was a sustainable thing that the city could do. And I think though the city went about and actually did the program under, under Mayor Lightfoot, the question about how a program like this can be funded in the future, I think is still up in the air. But so I think that, from our reporting, we really saw that the financial impact of the pandemic, especially for people living in Chicago, the job loss, the housing insecurity, the sprouting up of mutual aid networks, distributing food, communities gathering out together their own money to support people, that paired with the relief that came from the federal government, thinking about the pandemic relief checks, the child tax credits, this whole environment, when we did interviews, people who research guaranteed income really think that just brewed sort of a perfect storm for the city of Chicago to actually have a guaranteed income program. And part of that reason is because I think that sort of sometimes the fear of doing a program like this, giving out cash, it's unrestricted, people who are experiencing financial hardship get to make their own decisions about how they spend it. That's the concept of these programs, that people can steward their own lives. They know what they need. And so
as opposed to like food assistance or something where it's
exactly
restricted.
When we think about, for instance, SNAP, there are things that you can't buy. I think that when we were talking to interviewing Amia Poir, actually that was something that he had brought up. It was like, well, what about parents in Illinois who they need to buy diapers? I mean, I'm a parent. I think probably a lot of your listeners know, like, it's very expensive, and it's something that you can't buy with SNAP. That is sort of the argument for this, that there are still gaps. There are many gaps in our social safety net, and in cash assistance programs like the city's guaranteed income program, like Cook County's, like Evanston's, it empowers people to be able to use money how they need it.
Let me ask the mayor, Mayor Biss, about
I was wondering, Brian, if I could just
go ahead.
And give a bit of context I mean, you can go ahead and ask your question, and then I'll sort of figure out how to weave in
You're going to pivot away from my question, Mayor. All right. So, no, what I want to know is, I mean, I think a lot of people listening to this are going to hear what we're talking about, think this is a return of welfare. How do you respond to that? Because, I mean, welfare is something that was, you know, the policy of America for a long time, and then it became, broadly speaking, unpopular with the mass public. Even Democrats tried to move away from it. Go ahead.
Brian, I have excellent news for you. I can answer your question and say what I was going to say without any pivots at all, but this is exactly where I was going to go with this. So I do want to give a little bit of kind of historical context. So there's two different things that have been happening in recent years that are moving us toward similar but different programs. And you can even hear it in the tension in the language that you and Sarah have been using. You've been talking about universal basic income, and Sarah has often been responding by talking about guaranteed income. And actually, those are two kind of different ideas that come from different places. And what we are talking about here in Evanston, as well as in Chicago and Cook County, is guaranteed income. Universal basic income is this idea that says, you know, hey, the robots are taking over. People are going to, in the future of work, people won't all have jobs any longer, and so we have to replace the idea of people expecting to work for a living with a kind of a universal basic income that provides everybody in the country with a unmeans-tested check to provide a basic standard of living. And it's kind of comes out of the like utopian kind of techno Silicon Valley culture. And to be honest, that is a point of view that I have some pretty serious discomfort with.
This is the Andrew Yang version of UBI, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guaranteed income idea is a bit different, and it really says exactly what you were just alluding to, Brian. You know, there was a 40-year trend in American policy, and really Ronald Reagan was kind of the most sort of famous advocate for this, that basically said, we can't trust poor people to spend money responsibly. And so we're going to set up a bunch of complicated, Byzantine, bureaucratic, and paternalistic programs to do away with welfare, to not send people who need money money, and instead say, if you can jump through all these hoops, then you might be lucky enough to get a very restricted bit of support for certain food items or for certain housing needs or for certain healthcare needs. But we don't trust you to actually make your own decisions about where to spend the money. And what that has done is it's made it much harder for people in need to get the support that we as a society claim we believe we want to get in people's hands. And it has just added a ton of red tape to the administration of government. And so the guaranteed income movement says, let's actually roll back a lot of those restrictions and that paternalism. Let's assume that people who need help also have the judgment to spend the resources they're given in the way that works best for them, and try just going back to the idea of giving people who need money money. And this was really pioneered not too long ago in Stockton, California, and they did a lot of research on their program and learned, lo and behold, that if you give people in need some unrestricted, no strings attached cash, a whole bunch of things about their lives get better, from physical health to mental health too, and this is a crucial example, to employment. You might think, hey, if you put money in people's hands, they may no longer feel compelled to go out and look for work. But in fact, the opposite is true. If people don't have a basic modicum of their needs met, they often don't have the bandwidth to even search for employment. But if you give people a little bit of help, they then often have the capacity to go out and look for work and get employment. And so what we've learned in these pilots that have cropped up around the country is that instead of judging poor people, we ought to trust people with the resources they need to provide themselves the basic floor that then enables them to live a life with some dignity and some security and some upward mobility.
Only about 4 minutes left in our program today. And, you know, we are a downstate focused show. We're talking to the mayor of Evanston and a reporter in Chicago. We're not aware of any projects working downstate. Sarah, I don't know if you are. Maybe the question then is, what would it take to get something like this going? Do you need to have a mayor who is committed to the concept? Do you need to have a large, private, well-endowed university in your backyard to make something like this happen?
That's a really great question. When we looked at what's the landscape of guaranteed income programs in Illinois, of course, we have, you know, we had Cook County's, Chicago's. Chicago's already started distributing funds to people. They started in the end of June, and the majority of people had received funds in August. You know, outside of Cook County, which is in the process of opening up applications, you know, of course, there is Evanston's, but we found that there was also, we believe is like the actual first guaranteed income program in Chicago was a privately funded program that was based out of the west side of Chicago with an organization called Equity and Transformation. It's a group that's led by formerly incarcerated people, and they specifically serve Black Chicagoans who have been involved in the criminal justice system. And they had privately funded a guaranteed income program to assist people who are returning home from Illinois Department of Corrections, as well as Cook County Jail. And so we've seen that. We've seen that there are models and programs that are more specific than what cities or counties are doing that, you know, as long as you have been for Chicago, as long as you've been impacted by COVID and you're under a certain income, you can qualify for the program. But we did see, for instance, you know, with Eat Chicago's program that, you know, you can privately fund these and they can be for specific groups of people. When we think about the city's program, it is being funded by federal LEAF funds. And that's what we found in our reporting is that it's kind of open-ended, like what's the future of this program? We do know that the city wants to study the impact and the results of it to see how cash assistance has you know, changed people's lives. But the future of how they would fund it is still really up in the air. But we do know from our reporting, we had reached out to a number of people who had applied and weren't accepted or were accepted into the program to kind of understand why did people apply in Chicago? And if they were accepted, what did they spend their money on? And so we ended up talking to a number of women who had applied. It was reflective of, you know, who applied to the city's program. About 70% of the people who applied identified as women, about 70% identified as caretakers, and a majority of were from the south and the west side of the city. And so when we were talking to people who had applied, you know, people told us they used the money to pay off credit card debt. They were buying more food for their children, you know, at a time when inflation of food costs in Illinois and Chicago is very high. You know, people were going to use the money on childcare. So,
And that was our conversation on universal basic income pilot programs happening across Illinois. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.